Where would you be if someone hadn't prayed for you? You see, the power of prayer and the fundamentals of prayer are critical to our spiritual success. Do you find it interesting that the omnipotent God limits His omnipotent power to people's prayers?
Prayer. Of all of the weapons in our spiritual arsenal, it is by far the most powerful, but it is also often the most overlooked. Hi, I'm Dave Dino, and today on The Tide, Pastor Dwayne Bodiger begins an in-depth series called The Fundamentals of Prayer. Now, along the way, we'll see several real-life examples of the power of prayer, and we'll discover how we, too, can become effective prayer warriors. We'll get started in just a few minutes, but first, let's join Dwayne for a few opening comments. Dwayne, I think I already know how you're going to answer this one, but is there a cause-effect relationship between human prayer and divine activity? I mean, can you explain to our listeners how that works?
Dave, for some reason, God has many times chosen to limit His power to work in conjunction with the prayers of His children. I believe it's because He values us. He wants to work in partnership with us. He didn't make us puppets or robots. He wants us to experience the fulfillment and joy of being in relationship with God.
Why do you think that many Christians fail to pray as often as they could, or, well, perhaps more importantly, as effectively as they can?
That's a painful question, because it causes me to look into the mirror about my own prayer life. I think we don't understand the importance of prayer. Scripture gives us the command to pray, but we don't understand its importance. We don't understand its power or potential. I think we often use the excuse that we're too busy, but maybe it's just that we're undisciplined to pray. I think we don't pray because we haven't made it a priority in our lives. We do what we want to do.
Well, like anything else, prayer will be more effective when we follow a few basic steps. To hear more, let's join Dwayne for his message, The Fundamentals of Prayer.
A little boy was saying his bedtime prayer with his mother. Lord, bless mommy and daddy and God, can I please have a bicycle? The mother interrupted, son, God isn't deaf. To which the boy replied, I know, but Grandma's in the next room and she's losing her hearing. You know, sometimes we pray to be heard by others. And sometimes when we pray like that, we are actually praying, asking for that other individual who hears us, that maybe they'll be the one to fulfill that prayer. Well, the truth is, often God does use individuals just like you and me to answer His prayers. But we don't pray to other people. We pray to God. It's my responsibility to pray, and it's also my responsibility to listen. Because often, God wants to speak to me about what others are praying about. He wants me to respond to what others are asking. I remember several years ago, I was in Amsterdam in Holland, and Amsterdam, the city of Amsterdam, is a very interesting city with trolleys and the canals, with the trams and the canals going through the city, and it's an intriguing city. And I was watching the boats go past as I was watching over the canals and walking over them, and then I was also walking up the streets and seeing these trolleys go by, and I was looking at these trolleys, and I noted that some of them were not on rails. Some of them were, but some of them looked just like buses, but they had hookups or connections above them, just like the trolleys. And so as you look up off of the street level, above them there are these poles that go up off the back of the trolley cars or up off the back of the buses, and they're connected to these power lines. And sometimes you'll see sparks flying off of these as they're going through the cities, and you recognize that that trolley car or that bus is getting its power supply from those power lines that are suspended through the streets. Now, the interesting thing is, if the people in that or that vehicle becomes disconnected from the power line, it's powerless. I mean, the people inside can sing, they can shout, they can even hear a great message about the power of electricity and the importance of the pole that connects them to the power. But they will sit right there in that vehicle and do absolutely nothing. And when I thought about that, I thought, I wonder how many times do we as a church find ourselves in that very picture? We know the power supply is just a prayer away. But for some reason, that connection has become disconnected, and we often find ourselves sitting still, going through the motions, singing and praising and hearing messages and going on, but we're not moving anywhere. I want to talk to you about the fundamentals of prayer, because that is the source of power that keeps us moving forward. Prayer is the pole that connects us to the source of the power, regardless of past contact, or the future ambitions of contact that we might have. It's the current contact that's critical. If we are not connected at this moment to the power supply, we are powerless to move forward. And so again, I want to talk to you about prayer. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 145 as our reference verse for today. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Listen to that again. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. When we call out to the Lord, it is connecting our heart to the power supply. And when we connect, we must make sure that we are connecting Him with Him in truth, that we're not going through the motions just to be seen or to be heard, but we are connecting with Him in truth. We're crying out of the depth of dependence and vulnerability, out of brokenness before God, and that causes us to become genuinely connected with the power supply. Where would you be if someone hadn't prayed for you? Have you ever considered that thought? Take a moment. Who has prayed for you? Some of us have had the privilege to have Christian moms and dads, maybe Christian grandparents. Some of you were taken to Sunday school and vacation Bible school as children. You had those teachers pray for you. Some of you had Christian relatives, and you've been in Sunday school classes as young adults, teens, as grown-ups. Some of you have been in altars of prayer or prayer meetings. You've had people pray with you. But let me ask you the question again. Who has prayed for you? You see, the power of prayer and the fundamentals of prayer are critical to our spiritual success, to our victory in this world. One of the things that I think Satan keeps us deceived about is the significance of our personal prayer life. Let me give you some examples. But before I do, let me give you a quote. Prayer is the first thing, the second thing, and the third most important thing of our day. S.D. Gordon said this, "The great people of the earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor yet those who can explain about prayer, but I mean those people who take the time to pray." He was distinguishing what he's talking about. Because quite honestly, it is a lot easier to talk about prayer than it is to pray. As a matter of fact, I'm finding it easier to even spend time reading God's Word than it is to pray. I'm finding it's a whole lot easier to get involved in ministries of the church and look real good on the outside than it is to pray. Prayer is hard work, but prayer is the key to the work. We're going to look at a two-part series beginning today on this issue of fundamentals of prayer. And J.C. Ryle said this, There is no part of religion so neglected as private prayer. But when we're asking that question, what if we don't pray? Along with that thought of who has prayed with you, think with me through some pictures of scriptures that would have had some huge ramifications if there hadn't been prayer. For example, what if Abraham had not prayed for Lot? You know as well as I that Lot and his family had moved off. They had gradually moved into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. God had declared that he was going to destroy it. Abraham interceded before God. Oh God, will you save the city if there's 50? You know the story. All the way down, 40, 30, 20. God, will you save the city if there's 10? But there are not even 10 righteous. But then he sent an angel in response to the prayers of Abraham to go and lead Lot, his wife and his two daughters, out of the city. What if Abraham had not prayed? His nephew Lot would have been destroyed. Secondly, another snapshot from Scripture. What if Moses had not prayed for Israel? When they started to groan and complain, when they basically, in essence, raised their fist against God, when they were hungry, when they were thirsty, when they needed protection from the enemy who was going to come in and destroy them, what if Moses had not prayed? That chosen people who would bring forth the Messiah would have been destroyed by the enemy because Satan wanted to destroy them. Another snapshot. What if Elijah had not prayed on Mount Carmel? You know the situation. It was a great contest between the prophets of Baal and the God of heaven and earth. And they were defying the God of heaven. And so they set up this contest to determine who was the one true living God. What if Elijah decided he wasn't going to face the challenge of prayer? What if he thought it was too hard? There was too much risk. It wasn't politically correct. There was too much pressure. And there were too many other people against him. He could have, from every human perspective, chosen not to pray that day. But if he would not have prayed on Mount Carmel that day, they would not have had a great victory. There would have been no fire sent from heaven. The enemies, the prophets of Baal would not have been destroyed. God's word and his authority and his power would not have been seen. But Elijah dared to pray. Another snapshot, stepping into the New Testament. What if the disciples had not prayed for the Holy Spirit? In Acts chapter 2, we know that Jesus had told them to stay in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus tell them that? He had watched how they had lived and how they had acted for 3 years. He knew they had no power. Even at the very end, when they arrested Jesus, what was their response? I mean, they all said just a few hours before, Lord, we'll die with you. We'll die with you. Oh, in a moment of secrecy, yeah, we'll say anything. Sure, yeah, rah, rah, when you're with the group. But when the soldiers came with their swords, they fled into the night. And Jesus had told them, stay in Jerusalem, pray until the Holy Spirit comes. What if the disciples had not prayed for the Holy Spirit to come? When the Holy Spirit came on them that day, that power that they had not had before came upon them, and they burst out of that upper room and they began proclaiming in the streets the message of Jesus Christ, and on the very first day we know that thousands were saved and brought into the kingdom. What if they had not prayed? I would suggest to you that that would have been the end of the story. The church would not have exploded. The disciples would have gone back to fishing. But because they prayed, the world has been turned upside down. And because believers around the world continue to pray today, the world continues to be turned upside down in those places of prayer. A fifth thing. What if believers had not prayed for Peter in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5? James had just been put to death. Herod saw that it pleased the people, so he ordered that Peter be arrested also. And if it pleased the people that James would be put to death, what do you think he was going to do with Peter? Not only was he going to arrest him, but he was going to put Peter to death as well. It was just a matter of time. And so the believers began to pray. They were praying so intensely. You remember the story? Peter was released from prison. He went and he began to knock on the door. And they went, and a young girl went and saw that it was Peter, and she went back and told them the story. They didn't even believe, but it was the power of their prayer that made it possible. God sent an angel in response to their prayer. What if they hadn't prayed? Peter would have been killed. A sixth snapshot from Scripture. What if the church had not prayed for Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 26? Paul had been in prison. But then he said to them, he wrote a letter from prison. He said, "I know that through your prayers, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." My goodness, is that a statement of faith? He said, "I know that what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance, if not in this world, in the one to come." He said, "I expect to have courage, whether by life or by death." Wow. The impact of their prayers was giving him courage in a prison cell. It didn't matter what happened to him. He knew the gospel was being advanced. How could he have that courage when he was facing the possibility of death? It was the power of prayer. What if Paul had not prayed for the churches? And I have several scripture references there for you. Ephesians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Notice in all those passages, he prayed for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding, for spiritual growth, for spiritual maturity. He prayed for the fruit to take place in the church, for courage, endurance, patience, and power. What if Paul had not prayed for these brand new church plants? Could it have been that those church plants would have been shut down by the power of hell? They would have not exploded and taken off to win the lost for Christ? I'm asking a rhetorical question because I believe that, in fact, if these situations and people had not prayed, the enemy would have overcome. Do you find it interesting that the omnipotent God limits His omnipotent power to people's prayers? Why would He do that? He so values the partnership with people like you and me. He so elevates to a co-role of leadership and authority. Not that we have the authority. The authority and power is not us. But when we join our hands with Him, we are overcomers and conquerors through Jesus Christ. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. Ephesians chapter 3 says that we are to make known this administration, this concept of victory, power, and authority. We are to now make it known into the heavenly realms. Fundamentals of prayer. That's what we're talking about here today. Sometimes we forget the very elementary, essential issues of prayer. We get caught up on saying, "I don't really feel like my prayers make any difference. Am I the only one that feels like that? I feel like sometimes I'm mumbling meaningless words, wondering if they really make any difference, wondering if God notices, wondering if there's any change as a result of my prayers." But I'm here today to tell you, based on the authority of God's Word, that our prayers make a difference. Our prayers make a difference. You see, it's good for us to be reminded so we don't give up, so we don't quit, so we're encouraged to keep on praying. Now, let me ask you a question based on what if. An eighth thought, another snapshot. No, not necessarily taking out of Scripture, it's taking out of today's culture. What if you don't pray for your family, your church, your neighbors, your co-workers, our nation? We don't have to ask what if will happen if we don't pray. All we have to do is begin looking around and saying what has happened when we don't pray.
Make no mistake, God works through the prayers of the righteous. And if you don't think your prayers can make a difference in your family life, in your job, in every area of life, well, let me challenge you to begin praying for that specific area. And I can all but promise that you will see some positive changes. Now, for some final thoughts, let's join Dwayne and our director, Don Schenk, in the studio.
Dwayne, why do you think God chooses to act through prayer? After all, He is sovereign. He's in control of everything. He knows what we need. So why do we need to pray?
Don, I believe it's because He wants relationship with us. I mentioned at the beginning of this program that He didn't make us to be robots or puppets. He wants us to experience a relationship, a partnership, literally a friendship with Him. I believe it's also an issue of recognizing our need. And unfortunately, it often takes a crisis to bring us to the place of prayer that brings us to that revelation. But I am learning, and many people already know, the kingdom of God advances on its knees in prayer.
Dwayne, something you mentioned that the sense of partnership there. And I think it's important for us to also remember that God answers our prayers, and many times the answer to the prayer, He uses people to do that.
That's right.
One of the things, I'm a firm believer that when we pray for God to meet a need, we need to be also realizing that God might be looking to use us to meet a need in someone else's life.
It's a good thought.
We can be an answer to someone's prayer. And so I think it's important to realize that prayer goes beyond just my relationship with God, but He wants to use that in my relationship with others also.
Which calls me to make myself available to do what I'm actually praying.
Exactly. Let's take a little bit of time, Dwayne, and talk about our outreach in Zimbabwe. This is something we're going to focus on this whole month. We have basically a two-pronged approach to our outreach in Zimbabwe. The Tide, the program that our listeners are hearing right now, this program, the same program, is going out across Zimbabwe, all of southern Africa, actually. And we get a number of responses from the people in Zimbabwe. But we also have a studio there in Zimbabwe, and we produce an Ndebele language program called Amakuku Evangeli.
I'm glad I didn't have to say that.
Well, I hope I did say that correctly. For those Ndebele listeners who are listening, please forgive me if I mispronounced that. But that program is actually the only program we have anywhere in the world where we broadcast on a daily basis. And we do need the support there for our staff and director. Edgar Ndlovu is our director in Zimbabwe. He takes care of producing that program, getting it ready to send out on the air. We don't have one featured speaker there. Edgar actually works together with several congregations in the city of Bulawayo, which is the capital. That's where our studio is. And he gets ministers to come in and to record for the program. Puts that together, sends it down to Swaziland, and it goes out across Zimbabwe.
Don, this is really a wonderful and exciting opportunity. Why don't you share with our listeners today how they could be involved in spreading the gospel by radio in Zimbabwe?
What we do need is finances. And Dave will tell you how you can get in contact with us if you'd like to join us in that ministry.
You know, the great thing about radio is that it can often succeed where other means of evangelism fail. If you would like to help reach the people of Zimbabwe with the gospel using a medium that has stood the test of time, call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. That's 1-877-859-5484. Now, as always, a copy of today's lesson, this one titled The Fundamentals of Prayer, is available without cost or obligation. All you need to do is call and ask for a tape or a CD of number 0501. That's 0501. You may also call us toll-free at 1-877-859-5484 or write to us at The Tide at P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. And we'll be happy to send you a copy of today's program as a part of our ministry to you. For information about The Tide or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, the only thing worse than a prayer that isn't heard is a prayer that isn't offered. Join us next week as Dwayne continues his series, The Fundamentals of Prayer. Until then, I'm Dave Dino, thanking you for tuning in to The Tide, touching hearts on shores worldwide.